It's time for the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast on the Fin Addicts Network.
Hello and welcome to the Fin Addicts Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by me, the legendary Savak, and joined as always by the man, the myth, the mustache himself, Mr. Brian Byrne. And Brian, I understand we've got some exciting news on the Fin Addicts front. You want to fill our listeners in?
Dude, it's going crazy here at Fin Addicts Network. We finally have our own website, finaddictsnetwork.com. 100% done, looking beautiful. Not only can you find our podcast on it, but we can also find Dougley Do Wrong and Welcome to Perfectville. Both shows have the podcast, the YouTube video. Then we have all the press conferences. We have some new writers that are writing articles. So check it out, finaddictsnetwork.com. We also have some really cool giveaways going on that I want to tell you and maybe even show you about real quick that are going on here. So Armando Salguero wrote a book, 100 Things Dolphin Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So I figured with that list expanding this week to 101 things, with Tua starting, that we should do a giveaway of that book. So all you have to do, go to finaddictsnetwork.com, check out the contest. There's a little thing here. You copy and paste this in any social media, tag Finaddicts, you'll get entered to win the book and also this Don Shula, A Legendary Life, the Miami Dolphin official yearbook, enter to win both things. So check that out. We also have another super exciting contest going on, and I just went back too far, but we have the Jason Taylor full-sized autographed helmet giveaway part with FanDuel. We're going to do a 20-person contest. It's $55 to enter. Not only do you win the full-size helmet, personalized autographed by Jason Taylor, but you also win $100. The second-place prize gets the $55 entry fee back. So for more info on that, you can go right to, you know, finaddictsnetwork.com. Give us an email, info@finaddictsnetwork, or hit us up on Twitter at @fin_addicts. And, you know, the last bit of really cool stuff that's going on is, as I said, we've added some writing and some articles to the website, a new element to Fin Addicts Network. So we've added a couple people to the team. The first one, I'm horrible with the name, Tony Lombardo, formerly of PFF, or he might actually still be doing some work for PFF.
So hold on, there's an extended version of his name. I've just been calling him Tony Longo this whole time.
It's longer than that, I think. Good. Call him Tony L. So he'll be doing some writing. He'll also, as you saw last week when I was on the injured reserve, he'll be filling in sometimes on the podcast. So that's super exciting. The other new addition is also our guest tonight. Dylan Ashcraft is our new editor and lead writer. He's formerly of Dolphins Wire, phenomenal writer. Very excited to add him to the team. Dylan, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm great, man. I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
Nice. We have to ask all of our guests when the first time they're on their show, how, and especially you, you're up there in Northern Minnesota. I won't try to do the Minnesota accent. There we go. How'd you become a Dolphin fan living up there in Minnesota?
Yeah, the age old question. You know, if I had a dollar for every time I was asked that question, maybe I wouldn't live in Minnesota anymore, but it's cheap. It's cheap to live here. I've been a fan since I was probably 5 years old. Just a young, impressionable kid. Well, for starters, my dad is originally from Pennsylvania, and he is a Steelers fan. Moved to Minnesota. Or his mom did, and then he was in the Navy, and he came back to visit and met my mom. Wound up staying here, he always told me and my brother, look, I'm not going to make you be a Steelers fan. We're in Minnesota. I'm not going to make you be a Vikings fan because they're terrible and I'm not a fan. I don't care who you root for. Just be sincere. Be a sincere fan. Be a diehard fan. Don't be a fair weather fan. Just go all in. And we had a family friend who was hosting a college kid. This is at the tail end of the Marino era because, mind you, I'm 29, so I haven't watched much winning in my life either. I'm a young kid. He's a cool college kid, and he was a Dolphins fan, and it stuck. Been a Dolphins fan ever since.
Yeah, I have a special place in my heart for people like you and Savak. Like, I'm older, so I at least got – I never saw him win a Super Bowl, but I saw him in a Super Bowl. From the mid-'80s to 2000, we were in the playoffs pretty much every year. Like, we were – you know, we're not a joke. We were winning – like, you could see in Monday Night Football, the place would be rocking, you know, and there would be so many people on the Dolphins at every nationally news – I don't know how you guys who, you know, the Cleo Lemons and the Jay Fiedlers of the world that you've stuck through it this whole time. It's
hey, you be nice to Jay Fiedler, okay? He's a friend of the show now.
But you guys deserve this winning streak we're about to go on a lot more than I do. I just have to say that.
Hey, I agree, man, because it's true. We've been diehards, you know, us younger guys. By the way, Dylan, we're about the same age. I'm actually 28. So, but about the same, you know, got my fandom from my dad because this is Florida's team as far as I'm concerned. Because at the time when he was coming up, this was the only pro football team in the state. And as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of the way it is.
Yeah.
But anyways, Brian, there is a rumor, though, that you have a poll for tonight.
I do. I actually stole this from the Joe Rose show this morning. Zach Krantz was talking about this, and I was like, that'd make a really good poll. But is this game coming up Sunday, the Dolphins versus the Rams, the most anticipated regular season game in Miami Dolphin history? So let's get into the show. Maybe we'll come back to that in a little bit.
Okay, that's fair. And of course, part of the reason for this question is because after all of this time, I mean, what we had down was the months of waiting and speculation, but really we're talking years, right? Ever since the departure of our dear Dan Marino, Tua Tagovailoa is getting his first start this Sunday, home versus the Rams, which is kind of wild. You know, Ryan Fitzpatrick's coming off that 2-game winning streak. He wasn't playing particularly badly. You know, it didn't have a great game against the Jets, but overall we've been doing pretty well, right? And the timing, because of that, the timing was a bit of a surprise. So, Dylan, why did they make this change now? And do you think it was the right choice?
Yeah, I mean, like everybody else, I think I was floored when I got that notification on my phone. I was driving in the car with my coworker, and I was like, he hates football. He hates sports in general. He calls it sports ball. You know, he's a redneck. He likes the four wheelers and stuff like that, which is fun. It's fine, whatever. But I was blown away. And I guess the way that I've looked at it since, I just think, you know, Flores is going to do whatever he wants, and no one's going to tell him differently. And I think part of what I think in the back of my mind is that 0-for-8 on third downs and some of the, you know, yeah, we stomped the Jets. We shut them out. It hasn't happened a lot this year. I think that's actually the only game that's happened so far this season. But he's such an efficiency guy. He appreciates efficiency. And I just think as much as I love Fitz and as much as, you know, he's got us to where we're at so far this season, I don't think that's – it wasn't good enough. And I think what they're seeing in practice and with the bye week being moved because of the Patriots and their COVID outbreak – I just think he thought this is the time. We got an extra week. Let's roll. We can take it to a whole nother level.
I agree. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I think, you know, I can't tell you that I thought after the Jets game, I actually was glad I missed the post game show when I was on the injured reserve because the people that were started talking about after Tua played that one series about the chance of him playing versus the Rams, I thought they were all nuts. I didn't think there was a chance, but honestly, I do think I think it's time, you know, part of it is Fitz has shown his cap. You know, two of the last, if we weren't playing the Jets that game, I feel like we would have lost it. I mentioned that on our impromptu show when Tua was announced. Anyone but the Jets, I think, beat us in that game. He threw two interceptions, but also left about three interceptions, that weren't picked off, but could have. You know, 0 of 8 on third downs was awful. He, you know, obviously had the great game the week before against the 49ers, but the week before that, you know, if he doesn't throw two picks and no touchdowns against Seattle, we might have pulled off the upset. And I just think, you know, a lot what Dylan said, that Flores was starting to see the cap. You know, he could only bring us so far. And I think the defense may also have a part on why this was decided, is our defense is playing so well. We can compete with anyone. And this team, I think, kind of surprising maybe even to Brian Flores and a lot of people, is a real competitor. There's a chance they can win the AFC East. There's a chance they can make the playoffs. If Tua comes in as advertised, I mean, you know, if our quarterback has a bit higher ceiling than what Fitz has shown, we could do a lot of things. And like, you know, we saw against San Francisco a lot of deep balls and a lot of just, I mean, we scored 43 points, you know, so our offense obviously has a lot of talent too. So the one lazy take that I think I don't like is just the fact that it was only because of the bye week, and people are saying it was planned the whole time. It was just going to be the bye week. I don't think that's entirely true. I think the bye week has a bit to do with it. It definitely made it a time to do it, given that extra week. But I don't think if Tua wasn't competing in practice and showing, you know, at the same skill level or better than Fitz, if he wasn't showing that he could lead the team, you know, I don't think the bye week matters. I think we roll with Fitz. I think he really had to be doing quite well in practice to make a move from a quarterback that was on a 2-game win streak. But I think it's the right time. I think the garbage about the Rams defense being so good and Aaron Donald so scary, I think that's just a boring, lazy narrative. Everyone in the NFL is really good. Yes, Aaron Donald's good, but everybody in the NFL has a great defender. And, you know, you can't just worry about one guy. You know, we had the extra week. We have the home game. They have a short week as well, have to come 3,000 miles across country. So I think it's a great time. I'm super, super excited. And like, kind of back to the poll, I don't know if this is the most important game the Dolphins have played in the regular season, but I can't remember being this excited for a Miami Dolphins regular season game. What do you think, Savak?
Couldn't agree more. And, you know, I do think we spoke a little bit at length about it, because it's true. We've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick's ceiling. We know exactly who he is. We know what kind of quarterback he is. And at this point last year, he was still the perfect quarterback for the situation. But this isn't the same team we had last year. The team overall has a much higher ceiling. And with all these other rookies currently playing and currently performing as high at the high levels that they are, we got to see what our guy has too. We got to see if he can elevate this team any more than what they're already at. As I do agree with you right there, I think the defense played a big part of that decision making, because they're completely shutting out the Jets, which, I mean, of course, for us Miami fans, we laugh just because, you know, it was Adam Gase on the other side. So it's like, hey, yeah, well. But it was still a very good game defensively. And so if the defense can play that way, then you know what? We might have to roll the dice and see what this rookie can do. And I'm with you, too, on that Aaron Donald, you know, and the L.A. Rams defense thing. It is a good defense, but, I mean, they're not coordinated by Wade Phillips anymore, you know. And Aaron Donald, yeah, he's good, and he's as good as they come. And honestly, I'd kind of prefer that Tua gets the start against a defense as rowdy as they are, because if he can keep pace with them, even if we lose this game, if he can keep pace with them, he can keep pace with anybody. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing. So I know that Solo D created a song for this momentous occasion. And do you have it queued up there, Brian?
Absolutely. As everyone knows, we love Solo D. He does our intro song. He's been working on a new intro song for us for a while. Actually texted him today, hoping to get that soon. But we love Solo D, so we have to play his new Two a Time song. Here it goes.
city rising. A little early, it's a bit surprising. Business moves, now we enterprising. Switch it up, now we improvising. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Fence for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to welcome bro. Two a time, two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. My intuition told me this. To trust the coach, he holds a gift. He knowin' when to go with fit. So we knowin' when to switch. This year we got the golden pick. Time to see what that pick about. Bad vibes get sent out. Only fans up in this house. We been waiting, yeah, we been patient. Now it's time to cash out, no discount. Super Bowl, yeah, we in route. I don't know when, but it's close. I don't wanna overhype, but I just know I like it. So excited, league on notice now. You should know the rise. They say two or from that rock. Shout out to Samoa now. It's time to lay the smack down. You think he Dwayne Johnson. Time to be the people's champ. Hit him with the people's elbow. Stick together like it's Velcro. You think you could stop us? Hell no. All day I dream about sports. I think I need some Chateau custom with some Dolphins colors. Just to let them know we here. Yeah. I know the whole city rising. A little early, it's a bit surprising. Business moves, now we enterprising. Switch it up, now we improvising. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Fence for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to welcome bro. Two a time, two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time.
Two a time, two a time. Really hope he the man. Hope we found us a gem, like the Heat found Bam. Wanna take time to thank Fitz, cause he put on a show. But the young man up, in the whole city know. Time to catch all the blessings, cash out on investment. Ball out, don't choke, fans want all the smoke. Chris Gregg gave hope, coach flow like spoke. Dan Marino still the GOAT, but to a man on go. Watch to a man throw, watch to a man scope. Watch to a man issues that we never ever seen before. Fans up, let's win. Born ready for a ring. Maybe 3, 4, 5, 6. It's damn, we can use 10.
I know the whole city rising. A little early, it's a bit surprising. Business moves, now we enterprising. Switch it up, now we improvising. Go to get in the winter column. Whole squad been trained to go. Fans for life, we throw the foe. Singing this just to welcome bro. Two a time, two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time. Time to grind, time to shine. Two a time, two a time. Two a time, two a time.
So low, so low, so low deep. So low, so low, so low deep.
Oh, yes.
Make sure you go check out Solo D. He's on YouTube. He's on Spotify. You know, definitely give him some love. He's a dedicated Dolphin Hurricane fan, you know, all these songs about nothing but the Dolphins and the Canes, so you gotta love it.
Of course. And as we were saying, though, we were talking about this Rams defense. Some people might think this is not the most ideal opponent. Of course, two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Aaron Donald, he's already got 8 sacks on the season, and they're second in the NFL in points allowed, allowing only 17.7 points per game, and 5th in passing yards allowed, only surrendering 212 per game. Now, of course, they are also getting to the quarterback at a very high rate. What was that? almost 3.5 times per game, which is good enough to be 5th overall. The 3rd in sacks with 24 through 7 games. I mean, these numbers are, of course, a little bit skewed, as 4 of those games were all against the NFC least and their dreadful offenses. So, Brian, how does Miami overcome this very good defense and keep Tua upright and score enough to keep us, keep this winning streak going?
Yeah, I mean, that's the $1 million question. How do you stop Aaron Donald? No one has figured it out. You know, he's definitely going to get a sack or two. But I think definitely those numbers are inflated, as you mentioned. You know, You looked at who they've played, the NFC East. So I think I posted on Twitter, they played so far in their 5 victories, they played the 31st, the 30th, the 27th, and the 24th ranked offenses in the NFL. So the only team that I think isn't abysmal that they beat, I don't even remember, one of the teams in the end, I think the Eagles are a little bit higher than the rest of them, but just not good opponents. And when they did get to play some decent opponents in the Bills and the 49ers, they lost both those games. you know, it's a two-man show. Aaron Donald coming up the middle, and then you got to stay away from Jalen Ramsey on the outside. But we have a lot of advantages. You know, we don't depend just on wide receiver. We have a lot of guys that can beat you in Gesicki, in Parker, in Preston Williams, and Miles Gaskin. Even Adam Shaheen's been coming on. You know, there's definitely a lot of options there. And then, you know, we have the Wildcat with Lynn Bowden Jr., hopefully. So the other thing I think that's going to really help us out is there is no tape on Tua. You know, one of the advantages of not having a preseason is they have two plays that they can look at and see what it's going to look like with Tua in there. So that's going to be a big one. Their defense is good. I don't think it's the powerhouse that the stats will let you be. And I think we can run our game. I don't see them being that dominant where we can't execute the same game plan that we've gone out and try to, you know, impose our will on just like we have in the other games. I think the big key, just like the games we've won, is we got to, you know, if we have the ball first, we need points that first drive. We got to get to a confidence. And if they have the ball first, a stop and then a score, getting that first quarter lead has been, you know, we're 3-0 in games. We've got a first quarter lead. So I think that will be huge. You know, in trying to, even if it doesn't work, we got to run the ball. We got to beat that. You know, they're coming all the way from LA, and LA is warm, but it's not the humid that Miami is. So let's make them feel it late in the game and pound the rock.
I like that. What about you, Dylan? Where are you at?
Yeah, I don't get caught up in the, you know, people are there. Obviously, Aaron Donald's really good, and you gotta account for him, certainly, especially when a lot of times he lines up on that side that's going to be facing two rookies for Miami with Kindly and Hunt. So, you know, but it's the NFL. Tua's going to get hit. He's going to get hit eventually. He's going to get hit on Sunday. And what I like about Flores so far, and us Dolphins fans haven't seen this a lot, is look at last week, San Francisco game. They picked on that corner that came in that was off the practice squad. They found a weakness and they attacked it. That's something that I think Dolphins fans have been banging their head against the wall for years, when you know there's a weakness on a team and the coach just isn't trying to exploit it the way that he should be. And I trust Flores to find that, and they're going to have a game plan. I also think Tua, I wouldn't be surprised if Grant or some other shiftier, quicker player really steps it up in this game with him. Nothing to take against Fitz, but Fitz is really much, much more of a throw it up guy. I think with Tua, we're going to see more timing. Obviously the RPO was a big part of his college game. So yeah, I think I expect Miami to come out to a lead. I think that they can do it. And if they can get a lead, like you mentioned, Brian, and hold on to that, this defense is a totally different team when they're playing with a lead. And we've seen that through, you know, six games.
I like what you said there, actually. I like that you specifically mentioned Jakeem Grant, because if you guys remember, that third down that Tua converted in that Jets game was actually a pass to Jakeem Grant, which was so interesting to me because it hit him right between the numbers. And we know Jakeem is a little bit on the shorter side, so it's not particularly I don't want to say it's not easy. Well, then again, well, you know what I mean. We haven't seen that consistently, and we do know if you watch Tua's college film, you see one of his favorite routes to throw was, of course, the slant. And you're right, they like to work the RPOs in there and stuff. And of course, I'm sure him and Chan Gailey have spent the entire bye week picking out that collection of plays that he's the most comfortable with. This is similar to what we ran at Alabama, and they're going to be wanting to come out with that. Now, it does remind me of some comments made by LA's defensive coordinator, because he said, while they don't have any film on Tua, you're 100% right about that, they do have film on Chan's offense, because Chan is not, of course, new to the league. Everybody's, you know, very aware of who he is and how he coaches. So they are a little prepared for him, but I do think they're going to add some new wrinkles that we maybe haven't seen before. And hopefully they'll utilize some of these guys that we haven't been seeing so far this season. Now, go ahead, Ryan.
Yeah, I got to speak on that. Dylan knows that I'm a huge fan of Chan Gailey. We actually bonded quite a while ago when Shane was hired and I was not very happy and Dylan talked me off the ledge. But the one thing that, you know, like, yeah, they have tape on Chan Gailey, but the one strong thing that Chan Gailey brings to the table is he's very dynamic. He doesn't have a set, we're going to do this. He finds what his players do well and he changes weekly. And you notice that this year, there has not been the same offense any week this season. It's changed every single week. And so, yeah, they have tape on Chan Gailey. They do not have tape on Chan Gailey with the dynamic quarterback like Tua. And you guys said it, you know, they're going to find the weak spot in the defense. That weak spot's the middle of the field for this Rams team. Those linebackers aren't great. And you mentioned the slants is his strong suit. So I'd love to see guys like Grant, like Lynn Bowden Jr. getting slants in stride, you know, on the numbers with the chance to run, because these guys can do it. And, you know, as much as Fitz carried this team for a long time, he has a slow delivery. He had a slow pass and his accuracy was not always perfect. So it'll be interesting to see if they can take advantage of that middle of the field and hit some guys in stride and let them run after they catch.
Now, I do have one question, because I'm sure you guys saw this on Twitter at some point, probably in the last, you know, day and a half or so. Colin Cowherd completely reversing course on his beliefs about how Tua is going to fare in the NFL. I have to get y'all's opinions on this because it was just so good. You know what? I'm going to start with you, Dylan. What did you think?
He's just covering his tail. He's doing what he always does. He plays both sides of the fence, because he was singing to his praises for months and months leading up to the draft, even after Miami drafted him. I know it's been a popular talking point to just rag on the Finns now for making the switch as they are right now, you know, being 4-1 over the last four games, or sorry, 3-1 over the last four games. He's just covering his butt. That's all he's doing.
I think the specific quote that he had back then was, "I've never seen Tua fail." But Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah, this I hated this, because I'm a Colin Cowherd fan. You know, Joy Taylor, Jason Taylor's sister, is on his show. I listen every day at 12 o'clock on iHeartRadio. And there's been no one as pro, like nationally, I'll say. Obviously, some Miami writers love Tua. But nationally, there has not been anyone in the media that has been pro Tua as much as Colin Cowherd. And I think Dylan nailed it. It's just him covering his butt, because – and it's – he likes to move the needle. So, like, you know, what to do with the big story all of a sudden. You know, like, if he just came out and was praising him again, they'd be like, well, you've been doing that the whole time. Well, now that it's national news and he's starting this week, let's get attention and just completely do a 180 – and his stupid line, "There's no wiggle in Tua." What are you talking about, man? Guy, I know he had the hip injury, but there's a lot of wiggle in Tua's game. There always has been. You know, he's not Lamar. He's not Lamar, you know, or Kyler Murray, but the guy can run. The guy can move. One of the best games in that LSU championship game is he took a hit, then ran for 20-some-odd yards. You know, they kept the game alive. He has a couple 50-yard touchdown runs at Alabama. The guy's got some wiggle, but that was just, yeah, it was just a stupid take just to move the needle.
Go ahead, Dylan.
I think part of it, too, I agree with what you guys are saying. I think Fitz has become kind of a media darling. He always has been. You know, you get the Fitz magic, the Fitz tragic. He's just so polarizing and lovable. You know, and I just think people are almost getting defensive. I think a lot of the negative talk about Tua has less to do with Tua than it does with actually Fitz, and people just being kind of upset that he's getting swapped out right now.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree with that, because he is. And I mean, let's face it, you know, I felt my heartstrings get tugged a little bit too when that news came out, because as excited as I am, it's like, oh my God, here we go. We're going to get our new quarterback in there. We've endured, you know, Fitz has really endeared himself amongst our fan base and amongst the locker room. We love Fitz. And I don't think he'll ever have to pay for another drink in Miami again, but, but we always knew this was coming, you know? And so I agree with that wholeheartedly. I do believe the media they have some feelings about Fitz and some unresolved conflict. Sorry about that. My cat just knocked some stuff over. But, you know, we knew this time was coming, and it did catch us a little bit off guard. But I think Coach Flores knows what he's doing, because as you've alluded to multiple times, Brian, he's got to be seeing something out of Tua in practice in order for him to want to make this switch, bye week or no bye week. The kid's got to be performing. So I'm eager to see what we've got. But of course, we haven't talked about Miami's defense yet, because they are right there neck and neck with LA's defense. What are they? Eighth in sacks with 2.8 per game, third in points per game allowed, holding opposing offenses to 18.8, and are +2 in takeaways, forcing 9 and only turning the ball over 7 times. All 7 were Ryan Fitzpatrick interceptions. Now, Miami is 12th in sacks with 17 through 6 games. So, Dylan, how can our defense take control of this game and make things easier for Tua?
Well, play against the Rams like they did in the Super Bowl a couple of years. That'd be a start, right? I think it's what's hopeful about it is I think this defense, you know, with the exception of the couple guys that we've lost for the year, like Godshaw and stuff, but it's healthy. Otherwise, we're healthy right now. And the bye came almost at a perfect time. We got Van Ginkle back from the concussion. Van Noy's back. You know, it looks like he's probably going to go. Still got the foot injury, but it looks like he's good to go. And obviously, the further along that Xavier Howard gets with his knee, the better. And he's playing great football right now. I don't know if you guys saw the statistic on Twitter, but the shutouts pitched, you know, this year, it's him and Ramsey. I think Xavier's pitched out three shutouts in defense, and Ramsey's done 2 this year. So they're both playing lights out football. They just got to, you know, do their job, play complimentary football like they've done in their wins this year.
That's right. Brian, what do you think?
So first off, I have to apologize, because usually at this point of the podcast, we would fill everybody in on the injury report, and Dylan just brought that up. And we are coming into this game very healthy. Everyone's back except for Jamal Perry, our slot corner. He is out Sunday, but we are getting caught. You know, no one else. The only other person that actually got a game time designation was Adam Shaheen, is questionable, but Van Noy's back, Van Ginkle's back, Shaq Lawson's back, Raekwon Davis is back. So, you know, in that last Jets game, I think it was like 5 out of 6 plays, guys were just getting carted off to the locker room. So all those guys are back. So the defense is very healthy. And on the Rams side of it, the only one that got a designation was their tight end, Tyler Higbee. He is questionable. So they're pretty much healthy, which is surprising since they're coming off the short week. But as far as the defense goes, the Rams, what the Rams do has been the recipe for our defense's success. We struggle with Cam Newton, who had that RPO option. We struggle with Russell Wilson, who can keep the plays alive by running around all over the place. We've done really well where we keep guys in the pocket, and you know, I think that's how we do. This defense has been a completely different team since Byron Jones has come back. Him and Xavier Howard have just been electric. And it's allowed our defensive front to start getting a lot of pressure. Agba's really come on and generated a lot of sacks last week with a 28-yard sack. I don't think I've ever seen that before. So, you know, I think if we get out early, we make Goff have to stand back there and beat us. I think that's the way we win. You know, Goff is having a pretty good season, 12 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. But, you know, if there's a weakness in this team, it's get to Goff. You know, Flores, like Dylan alluded to, Flores laid down the game plan to how to beat the Rams, you know, 13-3 in the Super Bowl. You get to Goff, make him make some mistakes. And we have the guys back there that can take advantage of that. So hopefully Agba and Lawson, Van Ginkle can hit them, make them uncomfortable, and then Jones and Howard, you know, gets the takeaways. It's just so refreshing. I mean, how did that feel to read? The Dolphins defense are number 3 in the NFL, only allowing 18.8 points per game. We were ranked 32nd in every statistic there is after six games last year. You know, we were 0-6, dead last in everything. So the fact that we're among the top in sacks and defense, points per game, you know, that we have a lot of guys on defense that can beat you, a lot of strength areas. There's, you know, even our safeties have been playing up. You don't look at this team and say, oh, we're weak at linebacker, or, oh, we're weak at defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins has been coming on and just being a monster up the middle. So I think there's a lot of way this defense can change how this game looks. And it's, you know, they're going to need to with the rookie quarterback. You know, he's left arm of God, but it's still his first game in the NFL. So hopefully the defense can get him off to a good start, take some pressure off of him, and just let him get out there and get loose.
I'm sure the plan won't be too different from what we employed against the Jets, albeit the Rams have better weapons than the Jets do. But in terms of the quarterback, you know, Goff isn't exactly a mobile guy. So that is going to be the key. Get to Goff, keep him off balance, keep him under pressure, and we should be able to get a win here. You know, as difficult as it may be, we definitely have the talent, the ability, and of course the coaching to get this job done. But anyways, you know what I am interested in? I want to know if Antonio Callaway is going to end up making an appearance, because he is going to be eligible for this game.
No, not this game.
In case anybody forgot. No, not this one?
Callaway's not. No, he's one more week. So he's out this game, and I think he's eligible to come back week 9.
Okay. Either way, I'm excited to see him make an appearance, hopefully, because that could add just yet another dimension to this wide receiving core. And I'm excited to see it. But I agree. Whoop. Think we're on the same page here in terms of the defense. My goodness. They've just been playing lights out, and I hope this carries into the following week. Ryan, why don't you talk to us a little bit about one of our proud sponsors, Manscaped.
Yes, I do want to talk about Manscaped, and I'm absolutely going to. But before I jump into Manscaped too, I also just want to give a quick mention to Patch Vibes. Check them out. They have some really cool. They have the Don Shula commemorative patch you can get for your jersey. Some really cool stickers, some amazing t-shirts. They're on our website. If you use the code FINSUP, you get 20% off. Definitely check them out. They're just some Dolphin fans that, you know, started this, and they're just trying to get going. So they're not even paying anything for this. Just wanted to give them some love. But speaking of love, Manscaped sent me the Weed Whacker. And I don't know if you guys have this problem, but I've been looking for a good nose hair trimmer for about 15, 20 years. It's just awful. And I've never found it. You know, maybe get one good Weed Whack in there, and then the nose hair trimmer just goes to crap. This thing is amazing. I've used it twice already. I'm not going to show you, but you know, it's done a great job. The many year search for a good nose hair trimmer is over, thanks to Manscaped. But you know, that they have that, they have the lawnmower, which we have talked about over and over again, the non-Nick lawnmower, which I've used many times now. And I'm very happy to say there has not been one nick in the private area. And again, we can't talk about Manscaped without talking about the Crop Preserver, the anti-chafing ball deodorant. Amazing product. Comes highly recommended, not only from me, but from my wife as well. So get to Manscaped. 20% off if you use the code FINSUP. I know, Savak, I know you love Manscaped as well. What do you got?
Of course, big, big fan. You know, I love talking about this, the Lawnmower 3.0 with its waterproof design. And of course, the soft ceramic blades to protect you from nicking your family jewels down there. You got to keep the unmentionables protected. And I'm a big fan. I've been trying to sell it to everybody. I was pitching it to my brother the other day. I'm like, dude, you got to get on there. You got to go get this full kit, the Perfect Package 3.0, which comes with all of these things, by the way. Lawnmower 3.0, the Crop Preserver, the Crop Reviver. It also comes with a t-shirt and a pair of performance briefs. I mean, and of course, in the nifty leather carrying case. I don't have it in this room with me, but it is down here in South Florida with me. It's awesome. Go to their website, manscaped.com. Enter the promo code FINSUP. Save 20%. Get your free shipping. Get yours. Your balls will thank you.
Dude, I didn't even talk about the underwear they sent. Those are amazing. Those are my new favorite pair of underwear. Definitely get to manscaped.com. Dylan, we'll have to email our rep, get you the kit. That alone will be worth joining the Fanatics.
Well, it's not
the truth.
Well, keep me warm in the Minnesota winters. That's all I want to know. That's a whole nother dynamic up here, man.
That's fair. I had not considered that, but the performance breeze should help.
So really.
Oh yeah. So we do have some more to get into, of course, though. Now, we were talking a little bit about Miami's offense, and they've been doing particularly well, but we want to touch on the keys. Now, Brian, what do you think will be the key for Miami on offense?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be, which another, you know, like we just talked about with the defense, another amazing thing. We read some of these stats, and they're among the top. They're only allowing 1.7 sacks per game. I don't know if you guys saw any of the game last year or any of the games last year, but it was over 3 per game last year. You know, and this is with rookies who are still getting better on a weekly basis. You know, they're not turning the ball over. They're scoring the 12th best in the NFL. Again, all last year, these things were all ranked 32nd. But I think the key is definitely going to be we got to run the ball. I wouldn't be surprised to see Jordan Howard actually get active this week and get some snaps to help beat up the middle of the line. But then the chunk plays, you know, it's something that Tua can do, I think, at a much better rate than Fitz could. You know, he can hit guys 25 yards down in stride in on the numbers. So getting Parker loose, getting Preston loose. I want to see Gesicki, you know, over the middle of the field, those large bodies, you know, like, yes, the Rams have some good cover guys, but, you know, Gesicki doesn't need to get that open. He's a big body guy. He runs fast. Hit him on a slant. Let him hit. So I think that's going to be the two keys, is getting that running game going a little bit, regardless of how, you know, if it's only going like 3.1 yards per game, we have to stick with it because we need Aaron Donald to be just gassed in the fourth quarter and then, you know, take advantage of a few of those chunk plays. We saw in the San Francisco game, this team has the capability to go deep, and you know, Parker can make people pay, having a couple of weeks to heal up his groin. He did not have a game time designation for that groin. So I think those will be the two keys.
Dylan, same question.
Yeah, I think piggybacking off of what Brian said, you know, honestly, 3 yards per carry would be great, because that leaves your young quarterback with a third and manageable. And I think that's important. We can't get too far behind the sticks. It's asking too much of our rookie quarterback. You know, just get some chunk plays, some run after the catch would be nice. That's not something that this specific receiving core is super great at, or hasn't been so far. You know, maybe that changes with a quarterback change, but getting some chunk plays, because I think field position is going to matter a lot in this game. The Rams, now they're the type of quarterback, like you mentioned before, that, you know, Goff is more of a stationary guy, which is what Miami's been successful against. But if we can't hit home and we can't get to him, we're going to have to just play very disciplined and get some chunk plays, and field position might matter, because I think this game might be a little closer than some of the other ones we've seen.
I agree. And I think I'm right there with you. Of course, piggybacking on what both you guys said, it's going to be about this run game. They have to get the run game going. We have a rookie quarterback in there. And, of course, we saw in this Jets game, he had performed the greatest handoff in Miami Dolphins history. You saw how beautiful that was. I do it no justice. But we got to get more of that going. And what I've been harping on all season long, Brian, you can attest to this, getting these running backs involved in the passing game. Keep throwing it to Myles Gaskin. It does seem to work. Throw it to Breida. Get him out in space. And I liked one thing that you touched on, timing throws. I think we'll see a lot more of those, and those will also contribute to those chunk plays and setting up the chunk plays. So I guess, yeah, we're looking at that timing and the run game for me. And I suppose we kind of just touched on it, but are we looking at any other X factors for each team here? I'll go ahead and start with you, Dylan.
Well, you know, like you mentioned Matt Breda, that I think this is a perfect opportunity to get him involved. His speed is just, it's underrated really. And we haven't seen much of it yet this season. And if he can bust one loose, you know, he's a great receiving back. And I know Gaskin, it seems to be the most complete back out of this backfield this year, but if they can get Breda involved, he can maybe take one to the house or bust one big. I think that'd be a big X factor, is getting the receivers or the running backs involved in the receiving game, whether it's Breda, Gaskin, hopefully not Howard.
Brian, what do you think?
So I loved what you guys said about I can't think of his name, Breda. I've literally been dreaming this week of, I want to see a wheel route so bad. I want to see Breda get hit on a 20-yard wheel route and let him take it to the house. I just see it happening. How I've seen so much tape of Tua. He loves hitting the backs like that. I could definitely see that. But the X factor, I'm going to keep it from last week, from the last game. The X factor, Xavien Howard. Will he make this 5 games in a row with an interception? Let's let X be the X factor. Let's let somebody else get some love too. Maybe Jones takes one. I'd love to see Howard hit his 5th game in a row with an interception, but this time let's make it a pick 6. That would be cool. But the last thing I think is the X factor is we got to make their offense one dimensional. They have they don't have a good power running game, but they have a good outside running game. So let's keep that contained, hit the edge. Make Goff beat you, because I don't think alone he can do it. You know, they do have a couple good wide receivers in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, but they're not game breakers. You know, they're more consistency guys. So I think Jones and Howard are up to that task. So we can't let those running backs get outside and eat. So let's I'll stick though with Howard, the X-Man being the X-Factor. Let's make it 5 in a row. And just in case anybody's wondering, the record for most interceptions, consecutive games interception, is 8 games. I put it on Twitter a while ago, but it's 8 games in a row. It was done in like 1963 by a member of the Giants, I believe. So he's halfway there with 4. So let's make it 5 this week.
Well, see, I guess I will have to be the one homer on board and say that the X factor will be Tua. Tua, the man himself. That's what I'd like to see. Let him just get comfortable and find his groove and bring us home a win, baby. I would really love to see that. I'd love to, because I think what this is really going to come down to is which team is going to be able to adapt better, which team is going to be able to make adjustments. And we know the Rams are really good in the beginning with their scripted plays. Sean McVay has been legendary with that. Well, almost. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I do like Tua's. I do like the possibility that Tua will be better at adapting later in the game and being able to be adjust with the flow of the game. So I'm going to go ahead and say that it's going to be Tua, which I guess leads us to our game predictions. I'll go ahead and lead us off. I'm thinking 24-17 Miami's way. What about you, Dylan?
Yeah, I think I jumped the gun earlier in the show, and I said I think Miami will win this game. I got a lot of faith in Brian Flores to shut down McVay. As talented and impressive as he's been, as you said, you get him off script, that's key. And I think Miami wins this one. I think it's close. I think money Jason Sanders. I think he wins it for us. I think it's a 3-point game. I don't know. Let's go 24-21.
That's like Mr. It. Perfect, Jason Sanders, to you. Yep. Has not missed a field goal or an extra point this whole season. Before I give my game prediction, I just want to make a disclaimer to all the Miami Dolphin fans out there. if Tua doesn't throw for 300 yards and 76 touchdowns on Sunday, the world is not ending. It's his first game in a year. So if it, you know, I see the Dolphins winning 31-24. I see Tua being impressive, but just in case he doesn't go out there and set the world on fire, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. So
Brian, we cannot be that rational as Dolphins fans. If he does not throw for 400 yards and 6 touchdowns, he's a bust and we need to move on. I kid, yep. Of course, I kid. But go ahead. What's your prediction then?
31-24, fins up, baby.
Woo, fins up. I do love it. Now, before we go, let me go ahead and take care of the housekeeping. Everybody, make sure you subscribe to the Fanatics Miami Dolphins podcast, available wherever podcasts are available, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. I think there's a few others out there. Brian keeps telling me there are, but I don't know. But we do what we do for all of you guys. Get on there and leave us a nice review. Of course, remember to follow us, the Fanatics Network, on YouTube, youtube.com/Fanatics Network, and on Twitter, Fin_addicts. And of course, our brand new super sexy website, www.finaddictsnetwork.com. Go check it all out. Check us out. And of course, fins up, everybody.
Check out Dylan's writing. Hopefully he'll have a new article up there on finaddictsnetwork.com very soon. Maybe a post game, maybe a post win game article after the game. And you can leave comments right on the website so you can tell him how great of a writer he is, and check it out. We also try to keep you guys in the loop on everything that's going on Dolphins related. We throw all the press conferences up there. We throw all the injury reports up there. So check it out. And can we close with the poll? The fans do believe this is the most anticipated regular season game in Miami Dolphin history at 68%. 32% think it's not. And it's 225 votes. Personally, I think the Jets game in 2008 was a very important regular season game. I don't think there's that much on the line this game, but I got to say, I've never been this excited for a regular season game, especially with, it's not the week before the playoffs. You know, the playoffs aren't on the line. I can't even remember a week 8 where I'm this excited for a regular season game. How about you guys? What would you have voted for?
Yeah, maybe. Because it is tough. I mean, but it's tough to get that excited about a regular season game. So this one does come with so many more ramifications. You know, it's the first start of our brand new rookie quarterback, and he's been so incredibly hyped up. So this, to me, it's a nail biter. I mean, the time in between the last game and this game has all been on the edge of my seat. So I'm very excited. So you know what? Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and side with the majority there. Highly anticipated. What about you, Dylan?
Yeah, I'll go with the majority as well. I don't know. I got butterflies just thinking about it right now. I don't know. It sounds. I'm gonna make sure I'm planted in front of the TV. I gotta download like a free trial of something because I got the Vikings and Packers. It's the only local game up here, and I'm not watching that one. So I'll be watching that game one way or another. And most anticipated for sure.
Will either of you guys sleep Saturday night?
No, probably not.
I don't think I will. No. It's exciting. Yeah. All right, gentlemen. It's been quite the fun time. And as always, fins up, baby.
Mm-hmm. Fins up. Thanks for having me, guys.
Right at this moment, there are men everywhere doing manly things. Beards unkempt, hair run amok, leaving them in a state of hair despair. And that's just what we can see. Never mind what's going on downstairs. But it doesn't have to be that way. Thanks to our friends at Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com and enter our promo code FINSUP to save an instant 20%, get free shipping, and help quell the hair despair in your life. These bearded bros are counting on you. Won't you help them?